Hello, welcome to the Friday, April 18th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. We got another excellent Skidda diary from Manuel. Manuel is writing about DNP3, which offers secure authentication, but sadly isn't usually implemented. And he's talking about some of the reasons why this protocol with secure authentication isn't seen that much in real life. The two reasons that he mentions here that are probably the most prominent is, first of all, that SCADA devices are usually built to last 10, maybe even 20 years. So there are still a lot of legacy devices out in the field that are hard or expensive to replace. And then secondly, that many equipment vendors just don't offer this particular protocol with security as an option. And then we got a little bit more insight in the spike in certificate revocations that we saw from GlobalSign yesterday. Turns out that this was mostly due to Cloudflare revoking its certificates. If you have an SSL website that you host via Cloudflare, what will happen is that Cloudflare will issue a certificate that it itself gets from GlobalSign. They have a setup with GlobalSign. Now, Cloudflare was vulnerable to the Heartbleed attack. They were one of the vendors that actually got patched a little bit early, but they still went ahead and renewed or revoked all of their certificates, which then resulted in this huge spike we saw yesterday. Cloudflare actually states in their blog that the amount of CRL downloads that this triggered did cost them really money, something like $400,000 just to download these certificate revocation lists from GlobalSign via Cloudflare. And then we got a couple people writing in with a real great reference here at hut3.net about bugs in various Heartbleed test scripts. Problem was that the first proof of concept that tested Heartbleed only tested for TLS version 1.2, which is somewhat common if the Heartbleed feature is implemented, because that's one reason why people usually upgrade it to this latest and greatest version of OpenSSL. But turns out that the bug can also express itself if you use a lower version of TLS. So a lot of the initial testing tools gave you false negatives if you didn't have TLS 1.2 enabled. If you do run any tests against your infrastructure, make sure you're testing all versions of TLS. I believe the latest version of the Nmap tool, for example, does that. So make sure that your tool is up to date. And the article, you'll find a link in the show notes, does give you some details how to figure out what version of TLS is being used. And the Tor project did start to scan and blacklist exit nodes that were vulnerable to Heartbleed. And as a result, there are now about 20% less exit nodes. Those were the exit nodes blacklisted due to this bug. And just like the iPhone 5S, Samsung's latest phone, Galaxy S5, which also comes with a fingerprint scanner, is vulnerable to the typical finger mold attack that we have seen used against many of these fingerprint scanners in the past. For Android phones, this could be a little bit more tricky than for the iPhone. The iPhone only allows unlocking the phone and the use for iTunes purchases. But on Android, the API is typically a little bit more open. And as a result, you can, for example, use your fingerprint to authenticate to PayPal. And in this case, the fingerprint could then be used to withdraw money from an account. As we have mentioned in the past, the big problem with fingerprints is that you typically tend to leave them everywhere, including on the device itself. So an attacker could, for example, lift a fingerprint from the device if the device is stolen, and then use that fingerprint to create a mold and log into the phone. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.